She was born in the States, but she went to the school when it came up in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad took her citizenship papers. I don't know if there's anything you want or not, but you can explain it better than I can. We've been around unless we work for dinner every day, or lunch, as you call it, this country.
Well, it's a long way walking there.
Working man, that would be dinner.
I don't want to walk. I want to sit down and get up that far. Or I'm on that.
Ricky's in business.
Everybody
treats us good.
They're really nice,
Everybody treats us good. Good. Now, the argument on the property is right here. Here's the description of the land.
No, not here it is, right here, lot 6.
Yep. That makes our property.
Your property that you
own. That's off the lot of the larger quarter. That's the southwest quarter, section 23.
Right.
That's the larger quarter, that's our.
Okay.
We had 40 acres in there. I bought it from him. He was my father-in-law. I bought that land from him when I was in the Army. And I paid with it for it with 15 cent haircuts, now believe it or not. Cut hair in the Army for 15 cents in my spare time. I wasn't a barber. Boy, I tell you, I make quite a few dollars that way.
I bet you did.
All my spare time, I was in demand there with the fellas because I wasn't quite as wicked on the haircuts as the Army barber.
That's what they wanted, right?
I trimmed them so they looked like people instead of freaks. I think that 40 acres land was paid with 15 cent haircuts. That might be interesting to some people.
Yeah.
I found this the other day, so that settled the question of where it's located.
Mm-hmm. Then we can show the map, right? Yeah.
Phyllis lives there, Lila lives there, Pat lives there, Jim lives there, and so. The garden lives there, all in that same 40 acre block.
Well, we find it's right on the map here. No, and then you can come in and pick them up, but what I'll do is I'll fill this out right now. We are gifted.
Do you want this?
No, yeah, I could take a copy of that for our record. Just a little bit of milk, please.
No sugar?
No sugar. What I'll do is I'll fill this out for you and write down what I'm taking, and then when you come into the office next time...
I trust you. I know.
We have to do this for
you. How much of this do you want?
I can take it all and fill a pocket and then it's all over.
You want the whole thing?
Sure.
Okay. It isn't that it's going to do me any good, but the kids might want it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're going to want that.
See, I've got a granddaughter that's in this traveling business.
Mm-hmm.
She's been all over the world putting her mouth there. I believe the hostess on these pleasure boats.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's what she does. I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a lot of time in the U.S. So my daughter wants it. My wife's birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got that, so I haven't got that anymore. Lila has that. But that gives Dana, see, that access to the States is for the standard because her grandmother was a
American
States.
Yeah. Well, is there anyone in your family that's writing anything down about, you know, your history and is there anybody in your family writing down anything at all?
Well, there was a mother's side of the fence.
Uh-huh.
But that goes way back. That's a good note to the United Empire of Artists when you get into that. There's two big volumes. There's a copy of it down home. You see down home.
Uh-huh.
Grandson has their old place. My old place.
Uh-huh. So he's still there on your own?
I got the books there.
Yeah.
But it's just like dry reading. You heat the gap so and so, and somebody else the gap somebody else. Because fact, we're all in that too. It's up to date as far as my family's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all dry reading.
You think so? Well, because you know it.
There's a lot of Skirman in there. That's German and Dutch, one or the other. That's where it really started out, on Skirman.
Mm-hmm.
My mother comes in a long ways behind that. Her name was Wright, maiden name. Mm-hmm. See, her dad was a millman, sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
With the water power, turbine. Mm-hmm. Water comes in from the top.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
I think that was the deck, is where that was. I'm not up on that history.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis has got an old album that my mother had. I inherited it first thing I got to Phyllis. Old tintype pictures, some of them old fogies. But there's no names on them.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of my mother in there. Got about three petticoats and I don't know how many dresses are on those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say she possibly two, might be three. And she's put figures this for all that stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
The copper toed shoes to shine up on that old photograph.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of those pictures.
Well, has she put
Phyllis has one, and Ada has the other one.
Oh, my goodness. I thought she'd bring some of those in, or...
But Phyllis has got that stuff.
Yeah. I'd have to give her a call.
You wouldn't recognize her. She's only just another little girl.
But you would know who the pictures are all of them, huh?
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
I know who my granddad, my grandmother, mother's folks were.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he must be a better man than me. I think he had three wives. I believe my mother was the last one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure. They used to die pretty fast. It was consumption, possibly TB. I don't know. They called it the lung sickness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them died with that. They did pretty crude.
Well, yeah, you know, to get to a doctor in those days, there wasn't really.
They didn't have central heating.
No, I know.
The trees on one side and burn on the other.
That's right, yeah. And if you did get sick, well, how far away was the doctor? Could it get to him?
And as far as I know, my mother only has one half brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Lila might know more about that than me, because I think she was at the Prince Edward Island once.
Yeah. But
could you pull that map down a bit, Roy?
Phyllis would have a lot of information too that we could get stuff from her too, eh?
There's another question for you.
When you grew up, and can you, well, you were sort of taking me through there, like looking at that picture up there, all the big trees you had down.
Yeah, there's 14 acres there. Well, there was roads and stuff like that. Well, that there was taken three, four years ago. Well, it's taken
a bush on it.
Yeah, but
the trees are still there, aren't they?
But that was...
You planted these trees, it was all a bush when you went there to get all the... What were the roads, were they just like mud? Yeah.
Just mud and a bit of gravel? The roads were just mud and gravel?
Mud and gravel.
That was the name of the road.
I built that house after I came out of the army. That was my shop. The barn. There was our horse back here.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis lives over here.
So your son is still on this property?
Yeah, his grandson.
Yeah, he's still there. Dan.
Yeah, he bought it.
That's Dan's
grandson.
He bought it.
Mm-hmm.
We got so many of them, I couldn't give it to them. So the only way to settle it with no arguments, they had to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be Lila's place.
Mm-hmm.
And when their mother was alive, we gave each of the kids a building lot, approximately half acre apiece. Before they got so sticky on the subdivisions.
Yeah.
The path is back in here at Lila too, their places that was given to them. But they bought this piece from us.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis has half of the original 40 acres. She back in here.
Mm-hmm.
20
acres, Phyllis. She got 20 acres, Phyllis has.
Now, I planted these trees, and they were little guys that I bagged in from the bush.
So when you came here, was it all cleared off?
That was all bush.
No, all bush. You cleared it all off.
That was cleared by hand with a team of horses.
Oh my goodness.
There was no bulldozer in there. The back field was way back in there. We had a bulldozer on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was my bank. I was all scrap iron and what have you.
You've got a big stream runs through there where they catch trout.
So where is the stream that we've
got the stream there.
The creek runs right over
right there.
It was a poppy. But Dan had these pictures taken and he gave us this for Christmas one year.
Mm-hmm.
Taken from the air. There's an old army truck sitting there.
Still there?
That belongs to Jim and it's nothing but a bunch of junk. But he still hang on to it.
Mm-hmm. So you built this and you built that and you built the barn?
I built all those things.
You built it all.
Not this one.
Mm-hmm.
The creek, yeah, there's,
oh, yeah, there's a little
bridge going
yeah.
over it. There's trunks in that creek.
What's that? Mm-hmm.
Three-car garage.
Mm-hmm. Little stream.
Generally full of junk.
So you get all this when you come back from the door, right?
That's a three-bedroom house.
That's huge.
When they built that, there was, she built on cedar blocks like all the old buildings were around here. And then, Arden and Herb was home on this, and we dug all that basement up by hand, shoveling away about her, wheel her out the back, pulled in a hole back here. So you can go around to the back, the basement, it's over in the other end here, and you can come in the ground level and drive a car right in there. In fact, there's a car in there now. Dan's brother's got an old Chev in there.
Oh, he's doing it.
This was put on after.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way into the basement from up here. So
it's like a porch.
A built porch over the outside there to protect it.
So you did not, that was your workshop, right?
My workshop.
Well, after the war, your main source of income, what did you do? You built things and you fixed wagons and repaired wagons?
Well, that was only after retirement.
Okay. After, what did you do?
After I turned 65, I was a builder. Carpenter. I built houses and barns around this carpenter. There's quite a few of them around here.
Well, we're still standing here.
Yeah. Some of them were too. I built the first post office in Alderville, as far as I know. I mean, original post office. The post office that used to be in stores and houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. This was a post office building.
Oh!
George MacDonald had the mail mm-hmm. route.
Okay.
Him and built it for it. It was built in front of his house. And that's just about where the pantry sits today, pretty close.
Okay.
I can't tell you just exactly that or the heritage place, not the heritage, but the veterans place in there. That was a hardware store.
Oh, really?
Beggs Hardware originally. But I'm talking before Beggs come in here.
You know, we have a map with sort of that all on the original stuff. But
where that Rita has that little cafe in her restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close to where that post office was built.
Mm-hmm.
And they built over where the paper is published now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the second one. The third one was south of Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
272nd to 4th now.
Yeah.
But I stand corrected on that, but as far as my knowledge runs, that was the first post office building. I mean, just post office.
Mm-hmm.
It was always connected to a store, a house, otherwise.
Yeah.
They were in here long before my time, but I'm not too sure when that was built. Sometime in the late 40s, I think. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I was just down somewhere where there was the date when they were.
I think
probably on at the office.
I think I put the first piece of cement sidewalk in all of it.
Okay.
From the post office. I just got it finished, traveled it up. Some smart aleck worker walked right down the middle in wet cement.
Yeah.
Oh, what a mess.
That's what they do.
If I'd had a gun, I'd have shot him. Sure as shooting. And I yelled at him. He kept right on going, walked through and turned around and walked back again. What'd you say? By that time, I was just about ready to do something desperate. I had to do that all over again.
Did you put your initials in there?
I don't often get that mad, but
no.
I was so mad I couldn't talk. It was a good thing.
Well, you spent a lot of time doing that for somebody to come and do that. And
the cement work was not no pleasure. Those days it was all hand work.
Yeah. I wish you did it. Making and yeah.
That's one time that I really was ready to kill.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you've done and you've built and say like that, have you left your mark? Like, do you have an initial or that you put on there? Like on your tables?
No.
Anything on
this stuff,
your tables,
sometimes I stamp it. I've got branding irons that a brother made for me, but I have to have fire to.
Yeah.
Little branding irons, my initials.
Yeah, you should put your initial on because that's all important too.
That's something that's been stamped. I was kind of getting a rough figure on clocks. I think I made around 300. That was over the time from kind of 65 years old up until, well, I haven't done much the last year, two or three,
mm-hmm.
maybe half a dozen. Those are homemade.
Mm-hmm.
You've done more than half a dozen. There's one of the homemakers in Duncan wanted eight. She had eight.
Yes, yeah, she got eight clocks.
Mm-hmm.
With them, all that clock at Christmas. But it wasn't all fancy, some of them was just the plain little clock. They make quite a few like the one that gave you up there to your office.
That's nice.
I think they're quite attractive.
Oh, they are. So you did a lot of building around here, of barns and branches and homes around there.
And
that must have been hard.
The first shoemaker shop right here, Porter Manches,
mm-hmm.
we built that after the war of the Army. See, he was in the Army too, and he started a shoe shop in here. We built the shop here. That's on 272nd.
What's that one you built for Gus?
Well, they taught us to put that down here some little time. I don't know what they were doing there. But it was just on the south side of the hotel, though.
Mm-hmm.
Between the hotel and the post office.
On Jackman?
On the Jackman. And that other street that goes
just behind there?
This
way. Yeah.
I don't know what the name is anyway.
I don't even know what the name is.
But my buddy and I built that. there was a fella came into Montreal and he enlisted the same time as I did, he'd been in prison. And he was so doggone drunk when he enlisted, I don't know whether he knew whether he was signing his name or somebody else's. And it's funny, I'm not a drinker. I never have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we sang that. Took up with each other for some reason or another. I never preached to him, but after got straightened around, he never touched a drop of liquor of any kind while he was with me. Never. But he went overseas and I didn't. Mm-hmm. He got over in there and some trip they made, they got into a wine cellar somewhere. So they stacked him up with the corpses outside, and that's where he come to with all these dead guys. So that must have been an awful joke.
Oh, yeah.
But when he come back, he got out of the army, I was out ahead of him. He worked with me for about 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He died of cancer too, 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But that guy was like a brother.
Yeah.
He went away from home when he was 13 years old, went and worked in the mines.
Really? Oh my goodness. That would be an experience too, running away at that age and working in the mines. And what about when you were, you know, when you're, did you have time at all to take vacations at all? You know, did you have any time to go on holidays or?
We didn't have holidays in the age.
Money to
go. So
was
saying, that you
yeah, what did you do for entertainment?
The 24th of May was a big day, all the old farmers and everything used to have a picnic.
Uh-huh.
So that wasn't a money making scheme because the women brought all kinds of stuff.
They
there.
Made the food at home, right?
And sometimes the ice cream was for free, but they made it on the site.
Uh-huh.
I've cracked ice cream freezer too.
Mm-hmm.
But those people used to put up ice in the wintertime, you know. They had ice houses.
Oh yeah.
And that put the food in refrigeration they had in the summertime.
Oh,
the ice.
Oh right, yeah.
That would run up to about ration time if they were packed right.
Oh really? Oh my goodness.
But those picnics, that was just a great big community affair and it was all more or less family.
Uh-huh.
The early days.
And everybody, they'd bake, they'd cook, and they'd all bring the food, and then you'd share it. And
then there was another one about midsummer. I don't know, possibly. I don't know the dates, but there was a reason for it anyway. But
they would be
that
like,
was in town, that they'd drive in. If we were lucky, we'd get 25 cents. But you could buy those big chocolate bars for 5 cents. You could buy a bottle of pop for a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream, you got what to pay a dollar and a half for today for 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So 25 cents was a long
way. Yeah.
Quite often we ended up with 10 cents instead.
Now when you mean town, do you mean coming to all the growth for the fitness and that, or was it more?
This is prairies.
Roy said when he come to Alder Grove, if you blinked your eyes, you wouldn't see it. There's no houses, no shops or nothing.
Dad yeah, had 40 acres right across the road from here when he came to Alder Grove first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first land he bought in Alder Grove.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right across the street.
Straight across the street?
The north side. 40 acres.
Oh my goodness.
What's that worth today?
Oh. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even put a price on it right now.
I don't imagine he paid more than what, $2,500 for the whole 40 acres, possibly less.
Yeah, because in some of them, some of the stories I'm reading, you could get about 20 acres for $100.
Well, that quarter section is on the Ross Road.
Mm-hmm.
He paid $7 an acre for that. My father-in-law bought the quarter just south, $5 an acre.
Well, right now land is too high priced, it's overpriced. It's hard, you know, it's hard to think who can afford anything.
You see, John Jackman, he grew up north on the Ross Road there.
Uh-huh.
So it was at my homestead. His dad had a chunk of that, and his uncles had some of it. I knew his father.
Mm-hmm. John Jackman, you knew Philip?
Yeah, Andy Jackman.
Oh, Andy. Yeah, Philip was his grandfather.
He was married three times, too.
Oh, my goodness.
John's mother is the first woman.
Okay.
The second one, that wedding didn't last long. She died of cancer early.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, he died. He killed with a tractor. He won't be no old. John's dad.
Mm-hmm.
See, his brother Keith lived out there in Montana Road. Just after he got into the motor transport business there, mm-hmm. the license business, before he moved to Victoria. And Andy was over there helping to pull a few stumps. Tractor, motor backwards, pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Andy pretty well. He was one of the first guys that got acquainted with this country. Heck. Neither one of us was married them early days, and we had no time to be together. Not ever any booze or anything, just something maybe. A little good guy and something on the sea or something. Not too often. Phyllis is, I think, just like the older than John. They went to school together, too.
Oh, yeah. And what about, they probably would have gone in with Dora, well, she's Chapman now, but, well, a lot of the members that are on the society, they've gone to school together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, how much schooling did you get?
Pardon?
How much schooling were you lucky enough to get?
In my day, school didn't cost that much.
Mm-hmm.
They pull us out to seed and hard time in the spring. I'd have to still all my work, roving up, getting my field.
Mm-hmm.
My mother did the first mower.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old. I was driving out, getting my field.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the children in those days, that your schooling went with how, the farms were and what you were doing. When seeding was done and that, then you could go to school, and then when harvesting came, then it was
I was the biggest guy in my class when I left school.
Oh my goodness.
I got through grade 7.
Well, that's good.
Now today, some of them go to college and they don't learn more than we learned in grade 7.
I was just going to say that. There's lots that get further than that and don't know that as much.
My dad got as far as grade 4. Of course, that when he was little. Of course, he moved around a lot.
Yeah, it's hard.
You see, when my grandfather's folks come out from Prince Edward Island, they went up to Montana in his case. Granddad was a blacksmith. But them days, all those big parts of the big locomotives and railroads was hand-forged.
Mm-hmm.
Granddad used to work on that stuff. He lost an eye with a piece of steel. But I get that way behind here anyway. But they come up into Saskatchewan the year after that real rebellion.
Oh yeah,
the they come up with covered wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived off the land. You couldn't shoot, you didn't eat.
Mm-hmm. So my grandparents came.
And Dad was just I don't know how old he'd be at that time. Possibly 9, 10 years old, maybe. I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Could figure it out and let me look.
Yeah.
He didn't miss. Give him a rifle there, and he'd pull out 9 out of 10 every time.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Sometimes
like
10 out of 10.
You couldn't, yeah, yeah.
And he was a bit of a sportsman, as I remember him, the shotgun. He used to have lots of ducks, prairie chickens and stuff. He wouldn't shoot one sitting. They'd fly. I never saw him like this. Occasionally he'd get two with one shot, but most of the time just one.
Mm-hmm.
But I never seen him miss. He knew just how much to shoot ahead of him, and he could finger just as fast as
that. Was like, that was food on the table for him, so it was like, he had to.
No refrigeration. When ducks were plentiful, prairie chickens, in the fall of the year, my mother would cook them up and can them. I don't know
how did they can them in those days, like?
Sealers.
Yeah.
Boil them. They call it cold packing today. You pack your stuff in there and then put it in these hot water there and bring up.
Yeah.
Cook them for so long.
And then you, well, you had a cellar, you know, down there, because you had no fridge, so you go down on the ground and I'm sure you'd have your food cellar down there and keep everything down there.
You used to keep the cream in the well. If you ever spilled it, the water wouldn't fit your drink. That was the your grocery money in the summertime, some places there. Eggs and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And some places where there was, when we lived at Neota, we used to ship cream. 5 gallon cans or 2.5 gallon cans.
You know, those old cans?
Yeah, that was shipped to North Battleford. It was on the train.
Oh, okay.
Mother always got a premium for her butter. But she said it's sure sweet cream.
Oh, yeah, she did.
And she had always market for her butter at the grocery store. She'd go in there, got so much butter, so many eggs, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She did groceries. Generally, she had a few nickels coming back, but no dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a lot of the pioneers did here, too, when, you know, they shipped their milk and their butter and their ink into New Westminster via the train that would go there. And sometimes they go down to the river, and we would put it on the boats, and that would take it up into New Westminster. Did you ever get a chance to travel on any of those boats up there?
It wasn't running on weekends in here. It might have been a lot longer. The train was running.
The train? That must have been an experience getting on the train.
First time I went across from this side to Mission, to the ferry. And then a year or two later, they decked the railroad bridge. And there was no room for two trucks to pass on them. Once in a while, somebody would take it and beat the other guy, and then they'd come up in the middle. Well, that was a bit of a problem then to get them pried apart.
Yeah.
But there was notice that one truck at a time.
Did you have to pay?
Two cars could pass if they were careful.
Yeah, did you have to pay at that time to go across the bridge?
No.
No. Because they had so many of those back then. But it used to take sometimes 2 to 3 days to go to Mission. I've read that.
And you take Westminster there too.
Mm-hmm.
You used to travel on that railroad bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they built the other bridge, there was a toll on that.
Yeah.
So many tickets for $1.
The Taylor Bridge had a toll on it at one time. That would take you right into New York. So most of your life you've done a lot of carpentry work, right? Building and... When did you start repairing buggies and that? I can't remember from reading the article that you've got. You...
I didn't get you.
When did you start doing all the buggies?
Well, I retired at 65.
Did you do any before that? I'm sure you did a few.
Oh, I was working at the milk plant before then. The maintenance carpenter for 13 years up there at Dairyland.
Dairyland.
My last work was for the other fellow.
You went in the army.
Yeah, that's 2.5 years from now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've
got a free suit in there.
A free
suit? Yes, shoes too.
Oh, really?
Boots. You got some boots, didn't you,
Roy?
You got some boots.
But I never got out of Canada.
No.
I drove a lot of nails from that Sardis camp up there.
Mm-hmm.
We come down from Vernon just when they start in that camp. And any of the carpenters in there was sidetracked in there to build camp.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, the other thing, the other. I was way fat to go in, and I shouldn't have been in there in the first place, so the doctor said. I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't drafted, I volunteered.
Oh.
I want to put rib on the table. That's what she brings my lunch in there.
Yeah.
Those days, first thing they ask you, what's your job? Why are you not in the army? I got fed up with that racket, so I was
enjoying
it. I should never have been. That was the day I think they got paid for signing them up. There was 10 of us went up to Vernon. There was 3 of us. Well, that 10 was all that stayed, and none of us was any good either, but the rest of the ship got. One guy had had polio, he had one leg 4 inches shorter than the other. And how he got in there, I have no idea, because he couldn't camouflage that limb.
No.
Mm-hmm. He could have made his leg 4 inches thicker.
Inside, yeah.
Well, that's what we used to do, I didn't know, but their lives on the prairie,
but
that's
just,
not
yeah.
on there. The little girl had one leg shorter, and he said he could do it for his horse, he could do it for that little girl. And the mum and dad, they didn't want it done, so but they got it done, and she ran about as good as anybody.
But you had to be sort of A1 to get in, and like you said, you couldn't tie that limp. Or maybe you'd have to pick up the things and you have to go to see.
That's regardless.
Mm-hmm.
They put a grip on the table anyway.
Yeah.
They had a steady check there for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. In those days that would be...
Well, the wife got practically everything. I signed it. We were supposed to get $7, I think, to pay them. But I signed everything over to her because I was making money in the camp there.
How about the hairdressing, Roy?
A little bit later, after I got a little better doing the ropes in there.
Roy, tell her about how you used to cut the hair.
I did.
Yeah, I got that down.
Oh,
just told
15
her
cents.
Farm with,
yeah.
15 cents.
15 cents a haircut. I got that. That's how we bought the 40 acres.
That's right. But not many people can say that, is it?
No.
They can say it, but it needn't be true. But
it doesn't mean we don't get 10, 12 days
there
after. Before lights out. They even cut hair after lights out. Somebody holds a lantern. The officers got to know too. And when there's a draft going out, they all had to be trimmed before it went out.
Mm-hmm.
I generally got a whole show of them. I cut hair at 2 o'clock in the morning. Our officer holding a lantern.
Oh, really?
Absolutely against the rules.
Definitely, yeah.
Then he'd write me out a paper, excuse duty, the next day so I could sleep.
Oh, that was good on to do that, wasn't it? A lot of good people
about bringing. Well, he earned his promotion on the battlefields, First World War. Those were real men. Mm-hmm. Today, they put him in, I got a college degree, he was an officer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know which end was up. Lots of them guys got shot the first thing when they hit the front lines because they didn't know nothing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All in all, you know, it was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
I did learn a little discipline. I used to be bullheaded. I didn't want nobody telling me what to do or nothing. But that don't pay in the army.
No, but...
You do what you're told and think about it afterwards.
Yeah.
I found that out pretty quick. I didn't like being confined to barracks. That was the mild business.
Mm-hmm.
Or cleaning outhouses. I didn't care for that either.
They got you there if you took off with your AWOL, eh? Boy.
But you know, right today, the employment and everything the way it is, kids dropping out of school, I would recommend they give them 2 years army training. They don't have to be a soldier. Learn them a little discipline. The kids today have got no discipline whatsoever, most of them.
They're in bed whenever they like. 2 o'clock in the
morning. The other night someone mentioned the challenge is over. That fella's got that little fencing along the line.
Mm-hmm.
He smashed everything down there. No, there's no reason for that whatsoever.
No. Mm-hmm.
He's got his little fence around his house. Well, it's his wood and his work and it's his grand. He's paying $375 a month for that little place, he told us. Just got one bedroom and a sitting room, bathroom and kitchen.
Yeah.
But
it makes you wonder, you know, what's happening in this.
Well, what makes him tick?
Yeah.
In the spring, that was our first job. We worked side by side in the
mm-hmm.
We got 15 cents a crate for cutting. Pulling rather, trimming and packing. But for a start with, we both pulled and she'd sat there and trim and pack while I kept on pulling. We didn't do too bad, but we'd come up there some day to make $4 or $5, the two of us. He had a little shack there we were patching in. And then when we come to the raspberry season, there's another outfit. They used to feed and house the raspberry pickers. And so the wife and her sister cooked for that outfit. They got $30 for the month, their apiece.
Oh,
and what the money we made that summer built our first house. $90-some-odd. That bought the material. Of course, I didn't work. That little house is still standing down between the lost and old even old.
Oh, is that?
Of course, it grew a little bit as the kids started coming, but they're original.
Mm-hmm.
Still there. You know where all the standing gravel is on the road in the outside?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we started housekeeping on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Dad gave us 10 acres there.
Mm-hmm.
Wild weddings, old dog land. We built that little house the first year, and every time we got an increase in the family, put on another little piece on the house. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had the big house in the back, too.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any running water. Nothing.
No, and really, honestly,
the other house. They lived in the original first.
Mm-hmm.
We sold that place to Boston and we went to Kelowna. We'll be back in the nearest time and get over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because get up there and notice folks come up here and I come with, she wasn't feeling too good, I guess, and her own mother convinced her she should come back down here with them. Well, that prisoner split us up, little lady Stephanie, and she had a habit of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't going to come back when I changed my mind. I knew if I came back down here I had to go to Durham because I'd lost contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got my arm. But it's all worked out pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Again, believe it or not, the early days was rough, but that was the best time of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We had nothing, nobody had anything.
Everybody was the same in those days.
But people were different, too, the different attitude.
Well, I didn't know anybody anymore.
Worse shape than you, you went and helped them. Today they saw the hell with you, and that's just the attitude.
Yeah. I've got mine, you've got your own.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's right. And they look at you and you, but most of the people we meet when we walk out of the way will just nod at you. They seem pretty kind.
But then people got a load of money, and they got a load of money, they put a lot of help to people that they used to associate with from the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have little parties at houses different times out there, and we'd in, the women took the lunch. And the fruit volunteers had a lot of music, but they used to have some really good times.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Well, there's big people that used to come, really, like a big concert that used to go out there.
Well, that way back to Saskatchewan, there's the Chicago.
Well, that's a long time ago.
That's cool, your time, wasn't
it? People went miles to see it.
Not necessarily now. I'm not the youngest.